Good morning, sir. Would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Yes. Donald Van, D-O-N-A-L, V-A-N, 85048.
Thank you, Mr. Van. You appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your parole hearing. You have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B or 411. 412B being that you would be considered to be paroled to your next consecutive sentence, or 411 is absolute discharge. And so just for your information, I'm sure that you're aware of this, regardless of what action the board takes today, you will not be released today. There is a possibility, if the board so sees fit, to move you to your next consecutive sentence. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes.
And based upon information that we have, I'm just going to make a few comments, and if the information that I have is not correct, of course, you please correct it. You're currently serving a sentence of burglary in the second degree, and that is 11 years and 3 months. This sentence had its beginning on January 12, 1994, and you became parole eligible on May 1st, 2016, and on that particular sentence, the SED is listed as January 30th, 2020. And if you are, and then you will be moved to your next sentence, and the next one is listed as burglary, also in the second degree. That one would also be for 11 years, 3 months. And the beginning date, as it stands now, would be January the 30th, 2020. And you would become parole eligible on that one. These dates may change along the way, depending upon whether you're paroled to your next consecutive sentence. But you'll become parole eligible on that one on July 31, 2027. And then your SED at that time would be April 30th, 2031. I also take note that you had two other offenses and they have expired. One was trafficking in stolen property, and that one was for 15.6 years and it expired in 1998. And the other one was burglary, second degree, which was for 11 years, 3 months, and that one expired in 1994. So far, is the information that I have provided to you, is that correct, or do you have any corrections that you would like to share with the board on the information that I provided so far, sir?
No,
that
sounds right.
Okay, sir. Because we're doing this by telephone, you cannot see us today. But there are three board members participating in your hearing today. And they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal and the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair and board chair. And the three of us will make up your panel at this time. Okay, I would point out the fact that based on information that we have, that I have, that I'm looking at, is you did appear before this board back September the 28th in 2016, and that was for a 412B or absolute discharge moved to your next consecutive sentence. So at that time, you were denied. Also take note that back on October 31, in 08, you appeared before this board for a 412B to move to your next consecutive sentence, and that one was granted in 08. Is that correct, that in 08 you was moved to your next consecutive sentence? And I think that's one reason that the one of the burglary second degree has already expired because of that. Is that information correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to make a few comments, and then we will talk to you, sir. That at the time of this offense itself, you were 34 years of age. You had a prior criminal record, all total, between 1975 and 1987. You had 15 charges that you had on your records at that particular time. We also show that after this particular offense that we're looking at today and the next one, that you had restitution that would have been about $5,000, almost $6,000. Have you paid anything at all on your restitution as of this time, sir?
No, I have not.
Okay, sir. That's just a question that we just usually ask. It's not necessary for you to have, but we just ask that question. Let me just make a few other comments. Between November 23rd and 24th, 1990, and November 27th, 28th, 1990, in Yuma, Arizona, you was a pool man, cleaning pools, and that's when these burglaries took place, several burglaries took place, and you and a female tried to pawn the stolen items, and they were first, you were stopped by police down there in Yuma on November 27th based on some information that was provided by a pawn shop, and then November 27th, 1991, the jury found you guilty on all counts, and the judgment of conviction was affirmed by the Court of Appeal on May 13, 1993. Is that information also correct or incorrect, sir?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, sir. And I do take note that you do have a letter, one letter of support, and that is from your daughter, and your daughter is in the room at this time. She will have an opportunity to speak to the board in a few minutes as well, so we just wanted you to be aware of that. I would also take note that we do have a statement from the Deputy Yuma County Attorney's Office, and one reason I take note of that is that was offered for board purposes. It was written on November the 21st, 2017, and I found it to be a very interesting one. At the end of the paragraph next to the last paragraph, it reads, and I'm going to quote, "Should the board conclude that discretion exists to parole inmate Van because doing so would be, quote, in the interest of the state, end of quote, the state would defer to that decision and would hope that inmate Van would take advantage of that opportunity, remaining forever thereafter law abiding. End of quote." I just wanted to put that in the record since they included that, although they gave a list of the offenses that we're dealing with. We also take note, sir, that you that we have your inmate progress report, and based upon that, we note that you have taken some programming, including design for living, culture diversity, relapse prevention, function literacy, conflict resolution, thinking for change, cognitive restructuring, as well as the GED. Did you complete your GED, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I also take note, although you would not be paroled to your next consecutive sentence at this, I mean, you would not be released at this time, but your release plan called for you that you're planning to reside with your daughter in San Diego, California, and that she would provide you with housing, food, clothing, etc. And then you would plan to seek employment and try to apply for disability social security. The inmate states that he will need to have numerous medical treatment. Inmate will be on Medicare. I also take note that you've had a number of disciplines, with your last one being that in 2015, May 8th, 2015, and that was a major for paucity or refusal, and that usually referred to drugs, and you had some of those also in 2014. Were you using drugs at that time while you were incarcerated? Why did you have these positive refusals, sir?
I never refused QA, but yes, I did use several times when I was in Kingman.
Okay. And when the last time you used since you were while being incarcerated, sir?
In Kingman.
Okay. And so you haven't used any since you left Kingman, sir?
No.
Okay. Well, we're glad to hear that. Okay, sir. Before I turn it over to other board members, because neither one of the other board members had an opportunity to speak to you, I believe I spoke with you last year. I was on the board at that time, but the other board members have come on the board since then. I just wanted to ask you just a couple of what you asked. Is there anything else you would like to share with the board about why you are incarcerated or with the progress that you've made since you've been incarcerated? Then we'll get questions from the board, and then we'll hear from your witness, your supporter who's in the room today. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir, about the crime itself or about progress that you've made since being incarcerated?
I would just like to say that because of the amount of time that they gave me, it was not easy to really focus on anything other than working, you know. Just to stay busy, you know what I mean? I mean, as far as the GED, I wasn't able to get a job at the time, so I just thought I would take the opportunity to do that. And I had a GED within 3 months of signing up for it, so. You know, the past 6 years, seven years or so, just the job opportunities are just not the same as they used to be, where I could stay busy working, you know? And I just really never saw any point in doing too much of the program stuff because of the amount of time I have. So I really just tried to stay busy working. I thought it would be good to try to do that, work hard and stay healthy, and maybe someday I'd walk out of here.
Okay, sir. And that's one reason we're talking to you today, to see if you will get closer to the door. But at this time, I'm going to ask other board members if they might have any questions for you, sir.
Okay.
Board members' question. The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will begin, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Mr. Van, can you hear me?
Yes.
Just a quick question. You have a pretty extensive history with burglary and theft. What was your motivation for those crimes? Because you have quite a few charges in that category.
I really don't know in the 70s or whatever with the, it was mostly just petty stuff, but in the 80s it was mostly because of drugs.
Well, I appreciate your honesty with the board, and it certainly gives me some understanding of your case. What drug in particular?
Heroin.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions. Mr. Board Chairman?
Thank you so very much, Mr. Kowalis. Mr. Neal, any questions, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, at this time the board don't have any further questions for you, but as indicated, you do have a supporter present, and would you prepare to make a statement, ma'am? Would you come forward, please, ma'am? And would you state your name for the record?
Bianca Hawkins.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hawkins. And two things. One, thank you for your patience this morning. And the board would also like to acknowledge the receipt of your letter. And we've had an opportunity to review it. But anything you want to share with us, we're prepared to listen. Welcome to the board.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me time today. I did want to ask, did you get the other three letters that were written by family members?
They written recently? Well, I have one November the 4th. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling to my attention. We do have one November the 4th. woman, Ms. Wilcoxon.
Yes.
Yeah, so we did get the other letters. Thank you for calling that to my attention. I did not acknowledge that, but we do have the other letters as well as your letter. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So the one thing I wanted to make a point of talking about today was the risk that my father poses to society if he is discharged. And I know that's one of the biggest things we're looking at is risk and what kind of risk he poses. So I asked myself, what kind of risk does he pose to society? One I'd like to point out is that he's 60 years old. He's going to be 61 in January. So he's getting older. I don't know, you know, if he's going to have the energy to cause problems in the community. Secondly, he does have some considerable health issues that he's been facing recently. One, he's got a bad liver. He has, from what I understand, he has a hernia as well. These things are not getting addressed in the prison, as far as I understand. They're trying to do different things, but he's not really getting the treatment that he needs in prison. I don't know if it's due to cost or what, but so the other issue obviously is health. You know, is he going to be causing a lot of problems when he gets out because he's got a lot of health issues? That's my number one goal. I know that's his number one goal. If he gets out, we're going to address the health issues right away, so get him healthy. The third thing that I'd like to say is that he will have a lot of support by family, myself. He has two brothers and two sisters, lots of nieces and nephews that are all willing to help him out when he gets out. And one thing I do want to say is that his brother is actually in recovery. He's been in recovery for about 5 years. He is successful. He went to culinary school. He's now a chef. So I'm hoping that that will be a source of support and motivation for my father as well. There are community resources in San Diego that I've reached out to and I've been in contact with to help ex-offenders get back into the community. One being Second Chance and the other being CEO Works. And if you don't mind, I'd like to hand these flyers to you.
If you hand them to us, we can't give them back to you. We have to make them part
That's
of the
okay.
record. So if
That's
we can
okay.
keep them,
can keep
of
them.
Course, we'll
more.
Be delighted to accept them. We always just like to say that, because if they want them back, then we cannot accept them. But thank you so much. Yes, ma'am.
So one of the organizations is called Second Chance, and they offer a four-week job readiness program, and they offer lots of different supportive services. It's a wraparound program, so whatever he needs, they'll help him with that. If he needs more preventative care, that way he doesn't go back into using drugs, they can offer that to him as well. But like you mentioned before, I will be providing financial support and housing and food. I'm prepared to help him get Medi-Cal or Medicare. From what I understand, he doesn't qualify for Medicare yet, but I'm prepared to help him set all of those things up. The other program is CEO Works. They are mostly focused on getting him into a temporary job right away and then permanently placing him into a job as well. So the community support is there. I have been in touch with them already, and they've expressed their willingness to help him out. So as I said before, his health will be the number one concern, and once we get him the health care that he needs, then I know that he's going to be willing to work. He said it himself. That's the thing that keeps him going. If he can stay busy and he can have a job and be productive, that is a huge deterrent for him. So I believe that that will reduce his risk as well. And I know that he's going to do whatever he can to not return back into prison. He spent almost 30 years, I want to say maybe 27 years already. And for the crimes committed, I feel that it's long enough. So I just ask for the board's understanding, considering the time that he served and the risk that he poses to society to be low, in my opinion. Thank you.
May I just make, please stay up here, because the board may have some questions for you. I do want to make just a couple of comments, just for the record, which you probably already know. One is, if he, well, he will not be released at this time. He will move to his next consecutive sentence, which is 11 years, 3 months. But this is something that you can think about, whether we move him to his next sentence or not, is that initially, when he's released, if he does not have an interstate compact, then he cannot relocate outside of the state of Arizona. But that's not something you have to think about at the moment, because you have some time, because he's not being released. But that's something that we always like to point out, you know, that initially when they're released, they're in Arizona, unless they have an interstate compact where California, in this case, would be willing to accept him and go through the application process and work with this gentleman over here and his people, and they, you know, they go through that, they lead that process. The other thing that I would just point out, I think one thing that struck me in your letter was, you pointed out the fact that the state has invested over $500,000 in your father, with housing, clothing, and food, and so forth. And I guess that's just something that struck me when I was, let me just let you know that I did read your letter, and that's something that struck me, that I haven't seen it put that way before since I've been on this board in that sense. But let me at this time see if other board members might have some questions for you. Questions, board members? Ms. Hawkins?
No, but I do appreciate your work and your support of your father.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so very much. Okay, Mr. Lynn, we're back to you, sir. We've heard from your daughter. She's made a wonderful presentation on your behalf, but now we're coming towards the end of your hearing. But before I come to the end of your hearing, I always have to ask this question. Don't have to, but I like to ask this question. Is there any more supporters present who wish to speak on behalf of Mr. Lynn? Any others present who wish to speak on his behalf? Any others present who wish to speak on his behalf? Likewise, I'd like to ask if there are any victims present who wish to speak. Any victims or victim supporters present who wish to speak? Once again, any victims or victims supporters wish to speak? Hearing none and seeing none. We shall move on towards the end of your hearing, sir. And because this is your hearing, we always give you the opportunity to make a final statement to the board, so that that will help the board to make an informed decision whether, in your case, to move you to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Anything that you want to share with the board at this time, sir?
Well, I just
want to
feel like that I've done a lot of time for the crimes that I was convicted of, and I really need medical attention. I'm not really getting anything here, nothing. Basic medications or something, but it's just not what I need. I need like 3 different surgeries and I don't know if I would be able to live long enough to do another sentence anyway, but without extensive medical care anyway. But I don't know. I just thought that you might take that into consideration when making a decision on this.
Okay, is that your final statement, sir, before the board goes into discussion?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Well, the board is now getting ready to go into discussion. It may sound like we're talking to you or to your daughter or others, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. And following this discussion, the board will make its decision. And in the state of Arizona, we operate under the open meeting law. That means that, everything that we do is done openly. We have not had an opportunity to discuss this case before, the board members that's present. And what we discuss will be done. We did not go into a little room or nowhere to make our decision. It is done open, as the open meeting law name suggests. And therefore, we will be doing it based upon the open meeting law, and we will take a vote, and that will be the majority vote will prevail. The board is now in discussion. This is a very interesting situation that the board is now confronted with. Mr. Van, based on information that's been provided to the board, was guilty of these offenses that were, I believe, three burglaries, one course has already been already expired, as I stated earlier, as well as trafficking and stolen property, which has also expired. Those two have already expired. The board has to make its determination. The three of us must make a determination. Do we feel that Mr. Van has made enough progress to be moved to his next consecutive sentence? I know that he points out the fact that he has some medical conditions. However, some things it's just hard to say, but we have to be honest in what we do and say here. That would have to be taken up with the CO3, unfortunately, based upon what we, where we are now. 412B, 411, that would be something that would be necessary to take up with the CO3, because even if this board moved him to his next consecutive sentence, that we have no control over the medical conditions that he may find himself in. I think back to what we are looking at, to be sure, he had these stolen items. He had a history of a long history, in my opinion, 15 charges over a period of based upon what I saw, over a period of 13 years. But those were back in the 1970s and the 1980s. Yes, he's made some progress. One thing that does concern me, and I know he gave an explanation for it, and that was the positive refusals that went up until 2015. That is something that cannot and must not be tolerated in terms of the prison system, although we aware of the fact that it happens from time to time. But that concerns me. But does that outweigh the fact that he could move to the next consecutive sentence, as has been stated? He's now 60 years of age. If he moves to the next consecutive sentence and it was flat, I don't believe that it would be flat. That would put him into 70 or close to his 70s before he would be eligible to be released. And for the burglaries, I am, as one board member, and this by no means speaks for the board, I'm only speaking as one board member, I would be willing to consider moving him to his next consecutive sentence based upon 412B, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. The Honorable Mr. Kalanis.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. One of the things that I was doing while you were deliberating was really trying to do some rough math in my head. In the interest of Mr. Van, and that is, should we vote to move him to his next consecutive sentence? I was trying to kind of count backwards. It would seem that he's got earned release credit that was knocking 2 years off. So I guess the question I have is, when would he be eligible for parole again? I don't mean the exact date. Mr. Osborne, I know that this is usually not your role, but it's a percentage of what's left of his sentence leading up to earned release credit date?
Yeah, usually with
I know this is not an official answer, so I beg your tolerance.
Because I'm going to have it up right now. When was his arrest, when was he placed in custody?
90.
In 90? Or 93? Because that's probably old code. After 1993, I believe 94 was TIS. So probably two-thirds of his sentence.
So, well, again, I know this is unofficial. Conceivably, he could be up for parole again in 6 years?
I would say roughly 6 years.
All right. So. Yeah, anyways, I just wanted to understand that in the grand scheme, I wish we had a little more flexibility as opposed to just moving into his next sentence.
But I don't know whether this would have any effect on this at all.
No, I understand that,
I mean, with the statement that I'm going to make now, I don't know whether it would have any effect at all, but we must remember that he's already been paroled to his next consecutive sentence twice already. So this would not be his first time moving to his next consecutive sentence.
Absolutely, sir. And again, this is just me thinking out loud, having the discussion and looking at the totality of this case. But in short, I am open to moving into his next consecutive sentence.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Mr. Stanley.
I agree.
Any further discussion by board members? Okay, and of course, all of that will be determined by time combat, the appropriate
yes,
time. Thank you. Therefore, I'm going to move Ms. Van, ADC number 85048, to his next consecutive sentence. That would be 412B, and to deny absolute discharge for 11, and that would be my motion.
Second.
Sir, by the unanimous determination of the board, you will be moved to your next consecutive sentence, which in terms of actual numbers at the moment would be for 11.3 years, but as has already been indicated, that the time comp would work on that and work out the exact details. But we do appreciate your participation today. We appreciate your daughter's participation, and we wish you the best and good luck. And this will end your hearing. Thank you so very much. But would you put the 03 back on the phone?